And thank all of you for being here tonight. And I appreciate Dwight filling in tonight for George. I didn't know that he was not going to be here, but at any rate, we have a suitable candidate back there operating the PowerPoint, and he will do good, and we appreciate that. You know, there's so many analogies that are used in the Bible regarding man, how God describes man. There are many of them that are used to describe God. He is light. Jesus himself is often spoken of as the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life. He is spoken of as the light in John the 8th chapter. Certainly there are many, many analogies that are used to describe Jesus of Nazareth. Well, the Bible tells us that man is often described in various ways as well. And tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about the subject of trees. You know, all of us have trees in our yard. Most of you have trees in your yard. I'll say it that way. You know, I like trees. Trees provide a lot of things. They provide fruit for us. They provide shade for us. They're very decorative when they are in a yard or perhaps on a farm. I was driving out in the northern part of the county yesterday, and some folks were with us, and we were driving, and I noticed this beautiful tree farm of pine trees, and it was just gorgeous. It was beautiful. I had not seen a stand of pine trees like that in a long, long time. But I know that it was because of the work and the efforts of a number of people, no doubt, to be able to do that. If you brought your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms chapter 1 tonight, or you can shift your eyes up here. The Bible says of man, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Psalms 1 and verse 3. So I want you to notice that he is like a tree that is planted by water. A tree cannot live without water. A few years ago when we were having a great drought here in East Texas, and not only here but all over Texas, and fires were consuming much of the beautiful foliage of our state, you will remember that many of those trees died simply because of a lack of water. You and I could not live without water. Do you know that almost 90% of our body is water? And so the next time someone looks at you and they say, boy, you look like a river, well, you'll understand what they mean. Well, man is like that water. Again, I want to go back and read the entirety of this text in Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3. I want to read the other verses also. Listen to it again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. Now, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. But why in the name of heaven would God use such a metaphor to describe the life of mankind? Have you ever wondered that? You know, for a long, long time, I often wonder that. Why would God use a metaphor like a tree to describe us? But he does, and I hope tonight as we reason together for the next few moments, you'll have a greater grasp maybe on why God does that, and why trees, as we said in the initial slide tonight, why are trees so important? There are a few things about trees that I want to leave with you tonight that you may not have ever really considered. The first one being that trees do not plant themselves. You know, back in the spring, we planted some trees around this building, out here on the north side of the building. Those trees didn't get there by accident. They had to be planted, and great care was given to get the right tree and also to make sure that the soil was right and that it was planted and anchored as it should have been. Have you ever thought about all the trees that are mentioned in the Bible? Not every tree is mentioned in the Bible. And the Bible even talks about Abraham planting a tree and calling on the name of God to bless it. When you read about trees in the Bible, you'll read, as I've mentioned here, about several trees, the olive tree. Jesus went to the Mount of Olive on numerous occasions. And the reason it was called the Mount of Olive was because it was prolific with olive trees, and it was quite common in Jerusalem and in Israel. People would often give an olive branch, if you will, as a sign of their wanting to promote peace. Maybe we need to pass out a few between Hamas and Israel today. I don't know. But the Bible mentions the oak tree and the sycamine tree. If you're one translation, when it talks about Zacchaeus, it's called the sycamore tree. The juniper tree, the gopher tree, that was the one you remember out of which Noah made the ark according to the word of God and the directions that God had given unto him. We read of the cedars of Lebanon. We read of the palm tree. We read of the fig tree. And Jesus even cursed that tree because on one occasion it did not bear fruit. He had been by it on other occasions, and now he cuts it down. It is withered away at his command. But when you think about trees, and many of them are planted by mankind, there are trees that are planted by God. Do you remember when God made man, or rather prepped the Garden of Eden for mankind? The Bible tells us that God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And in that garden, God had planted a number of trees. And one of them, obviously, was called the tree of life, and another one was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said to Adam and Eve, of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat thereof. You can have every one of them, all you want, no limit. But God says, of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. But they did imbibe, they did eat of that tree, and the very commandment of God that was given unto them, they disobeyed. As a matter of fact, there was only one command. Isn't that amazing? Man cannot even keep one command of God. And that was the only one. And the very thing that God, you know, isn't that like kids sometimes? The very thing you tell them they can't have is the very thing they want. Sometimes you just have to use a little reverse psychology. You do. Now, but God says you can have every tree in that garden. I don't know what all he planted there. We're not really privy to all that information. But I know one thing, that God planted those trees. They did not come up on their own. They were planted by God. There are a lot of trees out in the forest that come up, people say, on their own. No, they don't come up on their own. They're planted by God. They are. Do you know the Bible says that you and I are planted when we are baptized into Christ? We don't plant ourselves. For all these people that say, well, baptism is a work, and if I have to work, then I'm having to earn my salvation, and all that kind of nonsense. Someone else actually plants you in water. I have planted a number of you in water. But God is the one that really planted you into the church of the living God. He is the one that really planted you in Christ. He is. And in the book of Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now listen to what he says. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You know, when we planted these trees out here, they looked dead. Did you notice that? And David set all that up. I thought you done got took. When I looked out there and saw those trees, I thought, boy, you know, I know David knows a lot about horticulture. But when I saw those trees and they looked dead, there was not a leaf on it, I thought, boy, this ain't gonna work. But you know what? Springtime came. And those things started budding out. Now, I hadn't asked your forgiveness. Will you forgive me? Now, and they're very beautiful trees. They are. We transplanted the crepe myrtles out front. Do you see that? They didn't plant themselves. They had to be planted. You cannot plant yourself in Jesus Christ or in the church of the living God. Only God can do it. He does. And when a tree is planted, we have to give that tree great attention lest it die. The same is true of baptized believers, isn't it? It's not enough to plant the tree. You have to nurture that tree. You have to lead it along, don't you? You have to care for it. You have to make sure that it gets adequate water, and that obviously is no mistake either when David writes in Psalms chapter 1 that man is like that tree that's planted by what? By the water. By the water. You want to make sure that it gets nutrients from the soil, but you also want to make sure that it has plenty of water. You can have the right soil all day long, but if you don't have water, that thing is going to die. Now, in the church where God has planted us, it takes a lot of nurturing. It takes a lot of care. It takes a lot of pruning at times. But there's a second thing you need to know about trees. Not only did they not plant themselves, but trees do not support themselves. The roots of a tree have to be anchored deep in the soil. They do. Because sometimes that water, the water level is way down in that soil, and if it doesn't get it from the top, it gets it from the bottom. You and I must have our roots anchored deep in Jesus Christ. And when our roots are anchored deep in Christ, that tree will bear fruit. Jesus speaks of a tree that was void of fruit. He did. He talked about that fig tree. And when he came, the only thing that he found on that tree was leaves. Someone told me yesterday that they'd been putting up peaches this year. They said this is the first time in about 20 years that they had gotten peaches on that tree. I believe I'd have cut that sucker down before then. But they got an abundance, a bumper crop, if you will, of peaches this year. But when Jesus saw that fig tree, that it wasn't bearing fruit and it was only bearing leaves, he said, enough is enough. And he cursed it, the Bible says. It's the only tree that Jesus really ever cursed in the Bible. But he did. But if those roots are anchored deep, fruit will be born. For in the book of Jude 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, these are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Listen to this. Trees whose fruits will wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now he's talking about the person here that is not anchored deep in Christ. They are those who become Christians, but they don't live as Christians. They don't act like Christians. They don't speak like Christians. They're not a reflection of Jesus Christ. And in the book of Matthew 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, and now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. Now, Christ is speaking here analogous of our own lives. He's not really talking about trees or horticulture here. He's really talking about the lives of mankind. When we are not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and following, then what happens to us in the end time? The time will come when God will lay the axe to the root. But there's something else you need to know. Not only do trees not plant themselves, they cannot support themselves. But thirdly, trees do not bear fruits for themselves. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, all that hard work they go to. I mean, they go through winter, the cold, and then come the spring, they blossom and they bear that fruit, but the tree doesn't get to eat any of it. The apple tree does not consume its own fruit. Doesn't do it. But that fruit is born for someone else. And in the Bible, the Word of God says that we are to bear good fruit. We are. That's what Christ said, didn't he? We are to bear fruit for others' sake. Have you ever stopped to really digest what Paul the Apostle has to say in the book of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 22? When he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, I want you to notice this, and how this fruit really is born for other people. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You don't love yourself. You do maybe in some sense. But what he's talking about here when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and by the way, it's not the fruits of the Spirit, plural, but it is described as the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. The way that you know that you're bearing fruit is that you're bearing the qualities that are mentioned here in Galatians 5 and verse 22. He says the fruit of the Spirit is this: it is love, loving other people. It is being joyful for other people. It is peace. You're trying to be at peace with other people. Goodness and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness, he says, and self-control. He said, against such there is no law. But we do all of that for others. You're kind to other people. You're at peace with other people. You're gentle with other people. Jesus lived his life for others. Everywhere Jesus went, he reached out a loving and kind and compassionate hand to every soul who crossed his path. He did. Everywhere. And it certainly serves as a great example for us. Someone said, live in such a way that those who know you but do not know God will come to know God because they know you. That's a pretty good little philosophical statement. I don't know who actually came up with that quote. I didn't. Very little of my material is original. I had an original thought one time. I had a headache, Adam, for 2 weeks. But think about it. Live in such a way that those who know you, but they don't know God, will come to know God because they know you. That is, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. If you were to go back to the book of Matthew 5, Jesus says, let your light shine before the world, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Be the right kind of example. That's really what he's saying. And when you think about trees, you know, it's amazing what we make out of trees, isn't it? It is. These pews are made out of wood. Somewhere trees were growing. I'd just kind of like to know where they were, where they came from. I don't guess we'll ever know. But these pews that you sit on tonight were at one time a tree. They were. The Lord's table, this very pulpit that I'm speaking from tonight, at one time was a tree. When Jesus came into this world, he was laid in a crib or manger, hay, made from a tree. Matthew chapter 2. And oddly enough, his life ended on a cross made from a tree. Made from a tree. Now, the Apostle Peter, when he wrote his first epistle, even went further for us to describe that cross as a tree. As he describes Jesus, he says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." He didn't say the cross, but the cross was made from the tree. He got into a theological discussion with a man who called this last week, advocating that Jesus died on a tree and he was strung up on some tree somewhere. I said, "No, that's not what he's saying at all. He died on a cross. But the cross was made from the tree." He said he bare his own sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And you and I tonight are Christians because of that tree. All kinds of theological discussions about the tree. Some people say it was the dogwood tree. That's the reason it's never really grown. If you've read The Legend of the Dogwood, that's what they say. That it was the dogwood tree, and that's the reason it's never grown tall. If you look at the blooms of it, the bloom is shaped in the form of a cross and has blood. It appears at every end of that cross. I don't know that to be factual information. Really not important. But it is important that Jesus died on that tree or the cross, that we might have hope of everlasting life. Isn't it interesting also that when John writes concerning the eternity called heaven or that eternal realm, that he says that we will walk through those pearly gates into that place called heaven where the tree of life now stands. I guess the question tonight is a big question. How deep are your roots in Jesus? And are you anchored to Christ? To Him? You know, someday they will lay your body, as they do many, many times, in a wooden casket. I have been with many, many people through the years who wanted to be buried not in a metal casket, but in a wooden casket. But when they bury that body and incarcerate it to wait the great judgment day, your spirit is not interred therein. For your spirit goes to be with God. Jesus asked us to pick up the cross, the tree, and follow him. He said, "For whosoever would come to me," in John chapter 6, "I will in no wise cast out." It's still a promise. After all these years, 2,000 years, it's still a promise to mankind that if we're willing to pick up the cross and follow him, God will plant our roots deep within Jesus, and we can have the assurance if we live faithful unto him and we stay planted by that river, the water of life, that someday we'll be able to live with him in heaven and partake of that tree of life. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I suggest you become one. If you really want to go to heaven, become a Christian. Be a follower of Jesus. Pick up the cross as he did and follow him while we stand and while we sing.